Hello. The subject or theme of this message that you have chosen to listen to impressed itself upon me some years ago as I was contemplating material for a message on the will of God. In considering how I might be able to ascertain the will of God for me in my life, I detected a lurking feeling that I might find it easier to tell other people what they ought to do or ought not to do. I wondered then, of course, what instruction I might be able to obtain from the Scriptures in putting other people straight and criticizing them for their misdeeds. I immediately found myself in bad company. No matter where I looked in the holy writings of Scripture, I discovered to my amazement that God always takes sides with a person who is being criticized and criticizes the critics. This intrigued me, so I set myself the task of finding out, if I could, why this was so. So we shall have to read the Word of God first, and I want to read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. We'll just read one verse here, and it says, verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Again, in verse 9, it says, "Then said he, Lo, I come, to do thy will, O God." And we'll read also in the last chapter of the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21. And down near the end of this wonderful chapter, and I call John 21 John's chapter about Peter. Verse 19 says, "This spake he, the Lord, signifying by what death he, that is Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him," to Peter, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved follow, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And then the other portion that we'll read is in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10 and verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now, I must say that a subject like this is rather exclusive in a way, and what I mean is it's exclusively for those who have some genuine respect and appreciation of the will of God. Your appreciation of God's will depend mostly on what you think about the God of heaven. How you understand him, how you look at him, what he's like and what his requirements are of you. Those who are not saved, who know not the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they have one consuming interest, and that's self-interest, self-confidence, and self-defense. These words that we have been reading in Hebrews 10
I delight to do thy will, is language that is both foreign and repugnant to the natural heart. And that is because of this tough, fibrous root that is in us dedicated to self-will. It is the language of God's Son, I delight to do thy will. And therefore, it is the language of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. Self-will began, you know, with Satan. He's the first one who set up his will against the will of God. And he has become the great complainer, the great accuser. And he accuses God, and he accused God to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He is called the accuser of the brethren. And so we must beware when we decide to put other people right, when we decide to find fault with what other people are doing. We're in bad company. And I notice in the Word of God, God's Word is very clear and plain concerning this thing. Now, I want to suggest to you that we might mention the curse of this thing called criticism. You may prefer to call it what God's will is for other people, and it certainly is nicer sounding. It's a little high sounding to say what God's will is for other people, but it is generally only criticism. And we might just, in passing, look at the curse of it, and the cause of it, and also the cure of it. Now, there's some things we must of necessity recognize, and we'll bring them out also in considering these scriptures that we have read in John 21 and in Luke 10, concerning this pair of men, Peter and John, and a pair of women in Luke 10, Martha and Mary. Let me say first that I trust we all recognize that God has not made all men equal. God has not distributed equally either his gifts of intelligence or wealth or personality or beauty. God has made us all different. I say God made us all different. And we must of necessity recognize this. Now, the heart of my message on this subject is the fact that when we take upon ourselves the responsibility of correcting other people, putting them straight, complaining because they don't do what's right, criticizing them for their actions or their words, we must remember that most of this criticism, if not all of it, is a complaint against God. And that is what those two incidences in the Word of God that we read, the two men and the two sisters, that's what it shows up. Now, first let me mention the curse of this thing called criticism. You see, in John 21, Peter complained to the Lord that John was following also. It seems the Lord possibly wanted to have a little word with Peter. He called him aside. He said, follow me. And like a lot of us, Peter moved to follow the Lord, and looking out of the corner of his eye, he sees John's coming too. So he says to the Lord, Lord, what about this man? Now, Peter thought that the Lord didn't know that John had decided to come along too. Peter didn't seem to realize that the Lord was aware of all that was happening. And of course, you know, oftentimes we take this stance that Peter took, and we wish to inform the Lord that other people are doing things. And do you not know, Lord? Do you not realize that John is coming too? What about him? And you know, I think of the little code we had when I was a young fella, M-Y-O-B, we used to say, and that, of course, is just mind your own business. And that is simply what the Lord said to Peter. Peter didn't need to worry about John. The Lord was quite aware of the situation. The Lord fully knew that John wished to come too when the Lord said to Peter, follow me. The Lord knew. Peter thought the Lord didn't know. You know, does this not show up our troubles many a time? We think the Lord doesn't know. We think he doesn't understand. We think he's not aware of the situation. And we consider possibly he must be informed of what is going on. This really, you know, we declare ourselves, don't we? We reveal our ignorance of the Lord's knowledge, his perfect knowledge of every situation. How good it is to recognize that the Lord is quite aware of every situation. We do not need to inform him of other people. We do not need to complain to the Lord that other people are doing things that he might not be aware of. He knows. So it was just a little insult to the Lord to suggest that he didn't know that Peter was coming. Lord, don't you know? And you know, this is a curse to criticize others, especially in the presence of the Lord, to insinuate that the Lord doesn't know. And then in the in Luke chapter 10, we have those two dear sisters, both of them very dear to the Lord. But you know, dear Martha, she was so busy, and this had to be done, and that had to be done. And she didn't like the idea of her sister getting all the Lord's attention. She didn't like the idea of her sister sitting there, in her words, her idea, doing nothing. So she went to the Lord. Mind you, that is admirable, is it not? It is admirable, too, even in Peter, that he should go to the Lord about the situation. And Martha, too, she goes to the Lord about the situation. But notice the way she approaches him. Notice her insinuation. She says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You know, when we get into a spirit like this, we're surely going to criticize the Lord. We're surely going to think wrong thoughts about him. We're going to suggest that he doesn't care. The disciples did that in the boat once, didn't they? They said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to the bottom? Don't you care that we perish? Why, of course he cares. But how gracious is the Lord? And yet, when we realize what has happened, when we are aware of what we have done, dark it seems. How unworthy to accuse the Lord of not caring. Now, may I ask you to consider, in your criticisms of other people, you're wishing to put other people right. Are you not finding fault with the Lord? Are you not saying either he doesn't know or he doesn't care? And yet you know that he does know. He knows everything. He does care. Of course he cares. He must care. And he's well aware of the total situation. So let us beware. Let us be careful. We'll accuse him of not being what he really is. We get wrong ideas of his perfections. And we'll fall into the trap of the devil. Satan, the great accuser, he was the one that started this ball rolling, and it's a terrible thing. What would you say would be the cause of this? Well, let me mention three things. First, pride. Oh yes, Pride is a great thing. Pride was the condemnation of the devil. He was the one who said, I will, I will, I will. But our blessed Lord was the one who said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. But what does pride say? Pride says, God has given me what he hasn't given other people. I have more than you. I have more beauty. I have more intelligence. I have more wealth. I have more personality. I have more of anything. In other words, we're saying, God has given me what he hasn't given anybody else. That's pride. Oh yes, that's pride. We're saying, God did that for me, but he didn't do it for you. But what is jealousy? Well, jealousy says, God has given you what he hasn't given me, and I don't like you because you've got more. I don't like God because he gave you more. And that is why jealousy is cruel as the grave, Solomon says. Before our God, we ought not to boast of what we have. If we have more than others, we may have more wealth. We may have more intelligence. We may have more beauty. May I ask you, where did you get it from? Where did you receive all these blessings? Is it not written in John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven? Therefore, you're compelled to acknowledge that if you have more intelligence, God gave it to you. If you have more beauty, God gave it to you. If perchance you do have more personality or more wealth, don't forget, God gave it to you. And the one who gave it to you can take it all away again. Oh yes, he can take it all away again. And all that the great proud one, Satan, all that he thinks he has gained, God is going to take it all away from him. Yes, he is. He said to the Lord in the temptation in the wilderness, all this is mine, and all the glory of it, it's all mine. Pride, the condemnation of the devil. Well, whether it be the devil, or whether it be you, or whether it be I, or whether it be anyone else, don't forget, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And therefore, why should you complain if God has not given you all that he has not given others? Shall we complain against our God? Shall we say, I ought to have as much as anybody else? Should we say, nobody should be different from me? I shall have all that everybody else has. We're complaining against God. We don't love him. We're not satisfied with him. We consider him imperfect. We consider him unjust. And these are all dread accusations to fire, shall I say, at our blessed God. Let us beware. Our God is all wise, a wonderful God, a gracious God, and blessed be his name. If I have anything in the goodness and mercy of God, he has given it to me. Covetous, you know, it is a combination of jealousy and pride. Covetousness says God should give me what he has given others. Should he? If it pleases him to make me different, should I complain against him? Oh, the curse of this miserable thing. And the cause of it is cruel. It's a terrible thing. And you know, as you go through the scriptures, you will find, as I said in my opening remarks, that God always takes sides with a person who is being criticized and criticizes the critics. God hates critics, beginning with the devil. Oh yes. And God will take sides against you if you decide to criticize others. Even in the case of Cain, Cain was afraid. First one that found him would kill him. God would protect him. God was going to take upon himself that business. That was his responsibility, and he wouldn't allow no one to touch him. The case of Joseph and his brothers,
Joseph, that dear man, he had 11 brothers against him, 10 anyway. And what? God will take sides with that lonely lad and defend him against all his brothers. Job and his 3 friends, the same thing. And the devil, God will take sides with that dear man who is being criticized. And God criticized the critics. Balaam and the children of Israel. Miriam and Aaron against Moses. God will not allow that brother and sister to criticize their brother. God had put him where he was, and God had given him what he had. And God brought judgment upon that couple. God spoke roughly to them. Moses kept his mouth shut. Oh, yes. The first thing we hear Moses saying is pleading with God on behalf of his sister, that he would have mercy upon her. Whether it be Absalom and David or Saul and David, God will take sides against the ones that are criticizing. Haman against Mordecai, God will take sides with those who are being criticized. Daniel and the presidents, the 3 Hebrew youths. And when you come into the New Testament, we find many important incidences. And it matters not who it is, even if it is his own disciples. The Lord's disciples will criticize some who are casting out demons in the Lord's name. And they found fault. They're not following us. They're not doing it the way we do it. The Lord said, you leave them alone. You mind your own business. Even against his own disciples, he will not allow his disciples to criticize others. The Pharisees criticized the Lord in Luke 15. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was true. Of course he received sinners and ate with them. But the Lord, he took sides with those poor sinners. The Pharisees were criticizing the Lord, and they were criticizing the sinners who would come to him. But the Lord, not caring about himself, he defended those sinners. And he said, not only do I receive them, I go out and look for them. I hunt across the mountains until I find them, and I receive them, and I rejoice over them. What a wonderful Savior is our Savior. What a wonderful God is our God. The Pharisees criticized the Lord's disciples. Why do thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do? The Lord defended his disciples. Ah, but what about in the case of the adulteress? Was she not to blame? Was she not condemnable? John chapter 8, they brought a woman taken in adultery. Now, what do you say about this, teacher? What did the Lord do? The Lord knew the hearts of all men. He needed not that any should testify of man. He took sides with that poor woman, sinner though she was. The Lord took sides with the one who was being criticized and criticized those critics. Judas accused Mary, criticized Mary for wasting ointment on the Lord. The Lord would defend her. Martha would criticize Mary. The Lord will defend Mary. Peter will criticize John. The Lord will defend John. Indeed, the Lord will criticize those who criticize. The Lord will take part with those who are being criticized and criticize all the critics. And I find that the Word of God is full of this every time. Oh, but may we not put anybody right? Yes, but be careful. Do it in the Lord's way. He that speaketh evil of his brother suggests the Word of God. He that speaketh of his evil of his brother speaketh evil of the law, speaketh evil of the Word of God. Why? Why, we say the Word of God is not competent. The Word of God doesn't cover this situation. I will have to take this into my own hands. We find fault with the Word of God. We say it is not competent. It is not able. God's Word is able. And so, friend, if you're going to put somebody right, if you're going to show them the right way, if you're going to show them where they're wrong, be sure you go to them in the Spirit of Christ and with the Word of God in your hand. And you say, my brother, my sister, my friend, the Word of God says this, and I would bring it to your attention
that you might know God's will for you concerning this or that that you have done. And if you do it with the grace of the Lord Jesus, and if you do it with the Word of God in your hand, then it is not you. It is the Word of God. And that is how Paul went to Peter. That is how Paul found it necessary to put Peter straight concerning certain matters. And he criticized him, but he told him God's truth. He pointed out to him what God's will was for Peter. That is the good thing. The Lord help us. The Lord preserve us. Our troubles, our difficulties stem from those who do not know that God is able. And so be careful. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Let all evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so, let us be careful. The Lord will take sides against us if we criticize others without His word. The Lord preserve us and bless us and make us a blessing for His name's sake. Amen.